You're listening to audio from Queen City Church. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will encourage you and offer practical steps for a relationship with God that keeps getting better and better.
If you have your Bibles, will you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to hang out today. And we are in week number 3 of a series about doubt called Elephant in the Room. And the truth is, we all experience doubt. Every single one of us, like nobody is exempt from experiencing doubt from time to time. But the truth is, so many times we don't talk about it. It really is the elephant in the room. And here's what I found, especially at church. There's so many times where we don't talk about it. We feel like that's off limits. And so we don't talk about it. But really, our goal of this series is that we're honest about it, that we kind of normalize doubt and talk about it, because we believe, like Caleb, I think he so beautifully articulated this last week. We believe that doubt is actually an invitation for your faith to grow. And that's why it's so important that we talk about it, because we all experience it. But when we talk about it and we address, I believe it's an invitation for every single one of us to grow. And today we are going to talk about something that we all have to wrestle with at some point in our spiritual journey. You do, I do, every single one of us, we've got to wrestle with this. But yet, so many times we do not talk about this very much. It's one of the elephant in the room. And so today, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, we're going to be talking about the massive elephant in the room known as church hurt. That's what we're going to talk about today. The elephant in the room known as church hurt. Like, what do we do when Christians let us down? What do we do when we experience hurt from someone that's connected to the church? Or what do we do with all the like awful things that have been done throughout history by people who say they're believers that have caused so much hurt and pain, confusion and doubt? And I think that this topic is something that actually causes so many people to doubt God, to give up on God, and to walk away from God, and to walk away from the church. I think it's one of the ones that are at the very top of the list. In fact, author Brennan Manning, he wrote this, that the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Now, before I say anything else, I want you to know that I'm approaching this subject today very humbly. I feel so much weight today communicating. In fact, our church is 5.5 years old. I've never felt more weight for one message than this message, because I know that this is a big deal. I know that this subject is very complex, and I know that there's no way that I can fully cover everything in 35 minutes in this very complex subject. And also, my heart is heavy, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's people that are here, right now, or listening right now, that have experienced some very real hurt. And as soon as I said that phrase and I put up that message title and you saw that word, church hurt, immediately your soul put up the defenses. And you're like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. And I know, because it's such a sensitive, painful subject. And truthfully, to be honest, it will be so much easier for you and for me to just ignore it, to stuff it, to not talk about it, to not address the elephant in the room. But I believe, guys, with all my heart, that the Spirit of God is here and that He wants to speak to your soul. I believe that God wants to minister to your heart so deeply. And today's going to be a little bit different. If you are here for the first time, hi, I'm Brian. I'm the pastor of the church, and I do not normally sit down. But really, my mentality today is very different. My mentality today is that it's just me and you, and we're having a one-on-one conversation over coffee. And that's my mentality today as I share this message, but I want you to know that my prayer today and what I've been praying leading up to this moment is that you would leave today with more peace and hope than you walked in, and that what we talk about today would help you take at least one step, even if it's a baby step, towards healing. That's what I've been praying today. But I think it would be a very good idea, before we do anything else, before I say anything else, and just take a moment to pray, to invite God into this time and give him permission to speak to us today. So why don't we do that? God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for the people that you've gathered with us today. And God, we just open up our lives to you. And we ask that you would speak to us today. We give you permission to bring up anything. And God, I pray that you would take my human words and would you give them weight, and would you anoint them with the power of your Holy Spirit? And God, I pray that as we talk about something that's hard, that in only the way that you can, would you bring hope, healing, and peace. We are so grateful for Jesus. And it's through the name of Jesus that we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, now for us to talk about this subject, for us to talk about church hurt, I think it's very important that we get on the same page of what it actually is. There is no right definition of this, so here's my best working definition of church hurt. Church hurt is hurt that you experience from someone that you associate with church. That's all it is. It's simply just hurt that you have experienced from someone that you associate with church. And just a moment of honesty, let's be honest. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever experienced this? Ever? Anybody? Me too. I know that I've experienced this. Maybe in your lowest moment, you called or emailed or direct messaged the church, but nobody ever responded. Maybe when you were in a financial need, you reached out to a leader, but they never followed up. Maybe you've experienced rejection by someone in the church. Maybe you said yes to serving, but eventually you felt used and taken advantage of. Maybe you said yes to leading, but eventually you got burned out. Maybe someone said something at church or at a group that really hurt your feelings. Maybe someone that you considered a close brother or sister in Christ gossiped about you behind your back. Maybe you trusted someone in your group and that person betrayed that trust by telling somebody else what you told them in confidence. Maybe a leader in the church said something that was offensive, insensitive, or flat out wrong. Maybe a teacher taught one thing but hypocritically lived something else. Maybe a situation wasn't handled the way that you thought it should be handled. Maybe you had a major moment happen in your life, a tragedy, a death in the family, a sickness, a sudden diagnosis, a new baby, but nobody even reached out to check on you. Maybe a pastor used the Bible as a weapon to hurt you. Maybe a leader used their authority as a weapon to manipulate you. Maybe a pastor that you trusted and followed had a moral failure. Or maybe you were even abused verbally, emotionally, spiritually, or sexually by a leader within the church. Now, all of that would be considered church hurt. And here's the truth. And I think we would all say yes to this. Here's the truth. That type of hurt, that just hits different. It does. It hits different. It hits deeper. It hits like a part of us where it just hits different because, and that's why there's a popular phrase for it in our culture. Think about it. We don't say work hurt or school hurt or family hurt or dating hurt or marriage hurt or friend hurt, even though there's very real hurt that is attached to those things. But we do say church hurt, because that type of hurt just hits different. And here's the bad news today. I will have good news. But here's the bad news, is that we will all experience church hurt. I wish I could preach a message over the next 30 minutes that can teach you how to keep this from happening in your life. And by the way, that's not what this message is. I cannot, that would be completely unrealistic. The bad news today is that we will all, every single one of us, experience church hurt. But here's the good news. The good news is that church hurt does not have to destroy our faith or our relationship with God and the church. And that's what I have such a burden today to help you with. It's the burden that's on my heart today, is to help you see that the hurt that you have experienced, that you are experiencing, or that you will ultimately experience, it does not have to destroy your faith or your relationship with God and the church. So here's the big question that we have to answer today. How do we deal with our church hurt in a, and here's the key word, a healthy way? Because you will deal with it, but the goal is not just to deal with it. The goal is to deal with it in a healthy way, right? So how do we deal with our church hurt in a healthy way? What do we do when we experience that type of hurt? And I've been trying my very hardest to hear from God this week on how to answer that question. And I felt as I prepared that he gave me three things. And so first and foremost, we have to, number one, write this down. We have to acknowledge our hurt. That's very important. This is so important. We have to acknowledge our hurt. Now, the Apostle Paul is one of the most influential followers of Jesus in history. If there's a Mount Rushmore of followers of Jesus, I promise you, the Apostle Paul would be on it. Like, when he miraculously came to faith, he went from persecuting the church to planting churches. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He made such a difference with his life, and he experienced a lot of church hurt. In fact, he says this himself. These are his words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 9. He says, "Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas, that guy, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry." And then verse 16, he says this, and it's a heartbreaking statement. He says, "Everyone abandoned me." I don't care how much of a spiritual giant you are, that hurts. "Everyone abandoned me." And then in verse 14, he actually writes this, "Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything that we said." And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that the Apostle Paul, a legend in the faith, one of the most influential followers of Jesus in history, that he not only experienced church hurt, I want you to see that he acknowledged it, that he talked about it. He didn't just sweep it under the rug. He didn't pretend that it didn't hurt. He didn't put on a church mask and just act like everything was okay. He didn't buy into the lie that time heals all wounds, and you shouldn't either. Listen to me. I know it takes tremendous courage and vulnerability, but if you've been hurt, you have to acknowledge that hurt, because acknowledging your hurt is the first step towards God healing your hurt. In other words, that the first step towards healing is always taking what's in the dark and putting it into the light. And let me just say this. It's important for you to acknowledge the hurt, but it's just as important for you to acknowledge the hurt the right way. And the right way is not publicly on social media. It's not an anonymous post on Reddit where you put some people on blast. It's not trying to get everybody on your side so as many people as possible can see that you're right and they're wrong. It's not venting to anyone with a pulse because deep down you want to get that person back and drag their name or a church's name through the mud. And by the way, here's what I recognize. I recognize that when we read those verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it really can feel like that's what Paul is doing. It's like, it can feel like he put all Demas and Alexander the coppersmith on blast in front of the whole world, not just in that moment, but for the rest of history, where some people in Cincinnati, Ohio, are sitting there reading about it. But that's not what he did. That wasn't Paul's heart, because you got to understand that 2 Timothy was originally a private letter that was from Paul to Timothy, who was another trusted pastor and a spiritual son that he invested his life into, and then that letter would eventually become part of our Bible today. So these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4 isn't Paul putting those guys on blast. So therefore, those verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4 don't give us permission to fire off an angry, bitter post on Facebook. And by the way, that's not acknowledging it. That's called revenge. So it's important not just to acknowledge your hurt, but to acknowledge your hurt the right way. And so you may be asking, well, what is the right way? And in my humble opinion, I think the right way is to acknowledge your hurt with a safe, trusted, mature follower of Jesus who will do two things, who will handle that conversation with discretion and will push you towards healing, that will refuse to let you stay there. If you want to know not just to acknowledge it, but to how to acknowledge it the right way, is to acknowledge that hurt with a safe, trusted, mature follower of Jesus who will handle that conversation with discretion and will push you towards healing. That could be a mentor, a pastor, maybe a team leader that you serve under, maybe your life group leader, maybe someone that's in your life group, maybe a close friend or a professional counselor or therapist. But it's so important, if you're experiencing hurt or when you experience hurt, is to acknowledge the hurt. The second thing that we need to do is we got to maintain the correct view of the church. This is so important. When we're hurt, we have to maintain the correct view of the church, because I've learned that your view of the church will determine your response to church hurt. That how you view the church, it actually determines your response to when you experience hurt within the church. So let me give you a quick history about the church. In Matthew chapter 28, our perfect risen King Jesus is talking to his disciples, his closest followers. This was after his death and burial and resurrection. And before he ascends into heaven, our perfect Savior says this in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, of every person on planet earth, baptizing them," it's what we're going to celebrate right after this, "in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, this is what's known in the Bible as the Great Commission. It's the mission that Jesus himself gave to his followers. Let me say it this way. This was the mission that Jesus himself gave to the church. And now, 2,000 years later, this is still the mission of the church. And by the way, this is where we get the mission of our church. Here's why we exist. We exist to reach all people and teach them how to have a relationship with God that gets better and better. We didn't make this up. This is our way of articulating the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. It's the perfect mission that was given to us from Jesus. That's our mission. Now, soon after Matthew chapter 28, after he gave this mission. Soon after that moment, the church is born in Acts chapter 2. Go back and read it. It's fascinating. That was the official start of what we know today as the church. And then after Acts chapter 2, so much of the rest of the New Testament is God painting a picture of what he wants his church to look like and what he wants his followers to act like. Let me just give you some examples. Romans chapter 12. Verse 9, it says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Like, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, he continues to paint this picture by saying in verse 1, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And one more example in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, says, since God chose you to be his holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as a member of one body, you are called to live in peace. And oh yeah, always be thankful. And there's so much more. So much of the rest of the New Testament is God painting this beautiful picture of the vision that he has for the church and how he wants us to treat each other. So in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, he gives us this perfect mission given by a perfect Savior. And then for the rest of the New Testament, he gives us this perfect vision of what the church is supposed to look like. So then why do we experience so much hurt and pain and heartbreak and disappointment when that's the picture and that's the mission that gets painted? And in just my humble opinion, as I process with God, this is how I would answer that question. Because the church is a perfect vehicle that is driven by imperfect people. The mission is perfect. The vision is perfect. And so it is a perfect vehicle that is driven by imperfect people. So as long as there's people in the church, there's going to be church hurt because people are not perfect. People are messy. People have sin. People make mistakes. People have issues. If you don't believe me, just look around. Or look in the mirror. Just a moment of honesty. How many of you, by show of hands, are perfect? Come on. Anybody? Nobody? Not seeing anybody. Raise your hands. On the contrary, how many of you have issues? Raise your hand if you got so many issues, your issues have issues, okay? By the way, if your hand's not up, that is your issue, just so you know. How many of you are sitting beside your issue? No, do not, do not. Do not. Don't. Do not. No elbows in church. But that's true. every single one of us have issues. Every single one. So here's what I'm asking you, and this is so important. I'm asking you to leave room for a big theological word called sanctification. I'm not asking you to excuse their behavior. I'm not asking you to not hold them accountable. I'm not saying that there doesn't need to be consequences. I'm saying that in your heart, will you leave room for sanctification? And here's my best definition of this. Sanctification is the process of becoming like Jesus. And I'm asking you that when you're hurt, leave room for this process. Because every single one of us, me included, are in this slow, ongoing process of becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And here's what's so important about this process. It will last the rest of our lives. We will never get there this side of heaven. So I'm asking you to leave room for sanctification. Because I think a lot of the church hurt that we experience is when we don't leave room for this process. When we expect other people to be finished products, when in reality they're not and never will be on this side of heaven. So let me challenge you with this. I want to challenge you, don't view the church as a country club. When you think of the church, don't view it as a country club that's full of perfect people that just have it all together, no matter what they look like. Do not view the church as a country club. And I want to encourage you, don't view the church as the Avengers compound. Come on, where are my Marvel nerds at? Do not view the church as the Avengers compound where all the spiritual superheroes hang out and drink coffee and recharge between missions. That's not the church. That is not the church that the Bible paints. So don't view it as a country club. Don't view it as the Avengers compound. Rather, I want to challenge you to view the church as a hospital for the lost, for the hurting, and the broken. And by the way, you included. Now, if you think about it, think about this. At hospitals, babies are born and sick people get healed. And if the church is being the church, if the church is living out the mission that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 28, if we are on mission, accomplishing what Jesus has asked us to do, two things are going to happen. One, we will always have spiritual newborns. Always. We will always have lost people that are getting saved. We will always have brand new believers. And by the way, if you're not a follower of Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity today. And I'm believing in faith that somebody's going to give their life to Jesus today. And in John chapter 3, Jesus actually describes this as being born again. And so if the church is being the church, we will always have spiritual newborns, but then number two, we will always have sick people who are in the process of healing. Always. We will always have people that are going through that process of sanctification, becoming more and more and more and more like Jesus. So how do we deal with our church hurt in a healthy way? We have to, one, we have to acknowledge our hurt, and we have to acknowledge it the right way. Because acknowledging your hurt is the first step towards God healing your hurt. And then number two, we have to maintain the correct view of the church, because your view of the church will determine your response to church hurt. So we got to view the church for what it really is. It's a perfect vehicle that's driven by imperfect people. And it's a hospital full of newborn babies and sick people who are in the process of healing and sanctification. And then number three, this is so important. How do we deal with it? We have to also, number three, we have to invite Jesus into our hurt. Let me tell you that Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. That means he wants to be in charge of every single area of your life. And let me help you think about something maybe you've never thought of, including your hurt. Like Jesus, he wants you to invite him into your hurt. So we have to do that. And here's why it's so important to do this. Really, two reasons. Number one, he understands. He understands church hurt. In fact, just in his final week before he died on the cross, which we studied about in the series before this one, he experienced betrayal, denial, false accusation, rejection, abuse, humiliation, and much, much more. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 actually says this: now that we know what we have, and we have Jesus. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, the great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. See, no matter what you are experiencing today, no matter what hurt that you're going through or have gone through, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus understands. And not only does he understand, he can also do something about it. He can help you experience much needed healing. Let me say it this way: he can turn your open wound into a healed scar. Like, do you remember, like 2 weeks ago in week one of this series, when we read about Thomas and we read about how Jesus invited Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 27, to put your finger here and look at my hands where the nails went in. And then put your hand in the wound in my side where they took a spear and stabbed me. I want you to put your hands there. I want you to see that. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Now, I personally believe that they didn't touch when they touched his hands and touched his sides. I do not believe that they touched an open wound. I believe they touched a healed scar. That when they touched those places, I don't think he jumped back in pain. Like, ow! Like, I told you to touch it, just not that hard. Because I believe that Jesus at that point, through his resurrection, had already experienced supernatural healing. Now, don't miss this, because he still had a scar. Because how would they have known where to touch? He still had a scar, and that scar told a story, but it was a healed scar. And listen to me, he can do the same thing for you in your hurt. He can turn your church hurt, your open wound, into a healed scar. Now, that could be supernaturally, like in a moment, and I pray you experience that, or it could happen through a very long process of praying and counseling and therapy and talking with trusted people and more prayer and more counseling and more counseling and more counseling. And you get it, a long process. But it is possible. Now, you'll still have a scar, just like Jesus. And that scar will always tell a story. But it can be a healed scar. And I felt like God wanted me to tell some of you today that you will live to the level of your healed scars. That in John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come so that you can have abundant life, life to the full. One translation says, I've come so that you can have more and better life. Like, the best life that you could ever experience here on planet Earth is found following me. And I feel like God wanted me to tell some of you today that you will live that abundant life that Jesus died for you to have to the level of your healed scars. So I encourage you to invite Jesus into your hurt and let him turn that wound into a healed scar. So how do we deal with it in a healthy way? We have to, number one, acknowledge our hurt. Number two, we have to maintain the correct view of the church. And then number three, invite Jesus into our church, into our hurt. Now, here's how I want to end today. When I prayed about this moment, right here, right now, how to end this. It's a really hard message to give. It's a really hard message to prepare. Like I said, my heart's been so heavy. I understand the sensitivity, the weight of this message. And when I prayed about how to end our time together, I felt like God led me to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, where Jesus says, it's a very famous verse. He says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. It's called the golden rule. And by the way, this is very good like advice for every area of your life. So you need to take that and just apply that into your life today in a bunch of different ways. But when I prayed about how, God, how do you want me to end this moment? I felt like he said, I want you to do to the people of the church what you would like done to you. Because like you, I've experienced some church hurt. In fact, if I were to be honest, some of the deepest pain that I've ever experienced has been hurt from someone that I associated with church. And in those moments, can I tell you just what I wanted? In those moments, I wanted the person that hurt me just to say, I'm sorry. And what that would have done for my soul. So in the spirit of this verse, in the spirit of the golden rule, if you are here today and you've experienced any hurt, any church hurt, maybe that's been at another church, maybe it's been at this church, but you've experienced hurt, I want to end our time by asking you if you would let me represent any pastor, any preacher, any leader, any person that's ever been in a group with you, any church person who's ever hurt you. And would you close your eyes just for a moment? And I want your soul to be attentive to these words. Because if you're here and you've experienced that, let me just speak to your hurt. As I represent that person, I want you to hear these words loud and clear. From the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for being harsh. I'm sorry for not being kind. I'm sorry for not being loving. I'm sorry for being arrogant. I'm sorry for being prideful. I'm sorry for not getting it right. I'm sorry for making the wrong decision. I'm sorry for saying what I said. I'm sorry for those moments when I was a hypocrite, when I said one thing and then I did the opposite. I'm sorry for when I rejected you. I'm sorry for when I betrayed your trust. I'm sorry for when I lied to you. I'm sorry for when I let you down. I'm sorry when I wasn't there for you. I'm sorry for when I lost my temper. I'm sorry for not living up to the standards of my calling. I'm sorry for failing you. I'm sorry for abusing you. I'm sorry for when I took advantage of you. I'm sorry for when I cared about what you could do for the church more than who you are. I'm sorry for when I treated you in a way that made you feel less than or insignificant. I'm sorry for when I used the Bible as a weapon to hurt you. Sorry for when I used my authority to manipulate you. I'm sorry for the moral failure that disqualified me from being your leader. I'm sorry for not being a good example. Sorry for not being an accurate representation of Jesus. I want you to know today that none of that was right. None of that was God-honoring. You didn't deserve any of that. So from the bottom of my heart, I repent. I repent. And with all sincerity, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And God, I just ask right now, in the power of your Holy Spirit, would you speak to people right where they're at? Like we said, we invite you, Jesus, into our hurt. And right now, we recognize that you understand, but we also recognize that you can do something about it. And so right here in this moment, would you bring peace to my brothers and sisters? Would you bring hope to my brothers and sisters? Would you bring comfort? And God, I pray that whether it be supernatural or just today would just be a baby step, I pray that they would experience healing from that hurt. And God, I just ask that over the next few minutes, as we respond to what you're saying, would you be in this room in such a tangible, powerful way? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If there is anything in your life that we can pray for, please visit queencitypeople.com/prayer. For the latest updates on our church, follow us on social media @queencitypeople or visit queencitypeople.com.